Hey everybody, this is Andrew with the We Are Rising podcast, and I have a very special guest with us. I have with us Royce Isaacs, who will be taking part in Bloodsport 9, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 9, taking on Johnny Bloodsport. I'm about to say John Morrison, but no, he's Johnny Bloodsport this time, March 30th. You could find it. I think it's sold out now, if I remember correctly, right? So, yep, unless you can sneak in or already have tickets, you'll be watching on Fight TV Plus. That's what I'll be doing, but yeah, Royce, I really appreciate you taking your time to talk to us about your match coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I was excited to come on when you asked me, and yeah, I definitely recommend anyone who, is either not in the Los Angeles area or didn't get their tickets yet, definitely get that pay-per-view on Fight, because the blood sports always are, I think, pretty damn special. Like every event since I've been involved, I think starting at 4 and 5 have been like pretty stellar lineups, and I feel like there's always some good sleeper matches that you're not expecting, as well as some like really like at the top of the card, some really, really heavy hitters. So
I'm trying to remember, was 4 and 5, were those the ones that they had back to back on, I think it was like on a Saturday and a Sunday, I believe, or Friday and Saturday, I think it was.
yeah, they were, I couldn't tell you the day of the week they were, but they were the ones that were during the pandemic, and they were like pre-taped and then really like they happened, I think. Well, I want to say like on the same day we just did them back to back basically, and then they were broken up because there was a ton of matches and whatnot, but yeah, everything since then has been live crowd
Yeah.
and more separated out.
Yeah, I like the those two were the ones that were at the undisclosed locations, I think. I believe it was.
Undisclosed location, parts
Parts
unknown type
unknown.
of
I think
thing.
parts unknown, as they would say in wrestling.
Yeah.
But before we go into your match, one thing I want to ask about is that I think a lot of people don't know that you had a pretty prolific singles career before you became joined with Jarrell Nelson and Team Filthy. And so yeah, I want what is it like going from being a singles wrestler to I don't want to say mainly tag team wrestler, but I guess mostly a tag team wrestler.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have put a higher emphasis on my tag team stuff. But I always really enjoy doing singles matches as well. I just had a singles match this last weekend back home in Denver. And I like both arts. I think they're obviously very similar, but there's parts that I enjoy about both of them. I really enjoy doing the six-man tags as well with Tom and Jarrell. So I don't know, they're all a little bit different, but I like having different kind of challenges. Like I feel like I'd be bored if I wasn't also doing single stuff, and if I was only doing single stuff, that would be great, but that'd probably be really hard on my body. And there is something really really rewarding about when you have a really good tag match and you're just like, okay, me and Jarrell are like fully in sync, we know exactly what the other one's thinking, and like everything just comes together really, really well. So I've always liked both arts. Like even earlier in my career, before I found like a steady tag partner, I was part of a few different tag teams. And then Jarrell just kind of, we were put together by a promoter actually, but we just like happened to turn out to be best friends, and it worked out really, really well. So over these last, I guess a little over 5 years now, it's been really cool to get out there and do some really cool stuff with them.
You ever think that Bloodsport should do something like that? Have like a tag team Bloodsport style type match?
It would be interesting. I think the tough part would be it staying true to the blood sport style. But I mean, you see, there's like all kinds of crazy events in Russia and stuff like that. They're doing tag team MMA fighting. So, I mean, never, never say never. I just think for now, it seems like blood sport obviously has kind of its focus and what its bread and butter is that it does. But I would think if there was, I don't know, I'll put it this way. If there ever is a tag team match at Bloodsport, I would love for it to be myself and Jarrell versus someone. I think that would be a fun one. But I don't know. I don't necessarily think it'll ever happen, but never say never, right?
Think so whenever Bloodsport's come around, I always like to watch previous matches that a lot of the wrestlers have done. And I know I saw that you had a match in DDT quite a number of years ago. What was that experience like?
Yeah, DDT was great for me. I went there a few times back in 2016 and 2017. Spent quite a few months in Japan, and that was really nice. Like, DDT is a really, really good crew. It's a really fun environment because there's a lot of like crazy comedy stuff happening, but they also have some of the best wrestlers in the world, like I would say hands down, and like they have a good history of producing really high level wrestling talent. So for me, like at the time especially, I was still definitely newer into my career and trying to figure out who Royce Isaacs was as a wrestler and all that. But I mean, yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about that crew there, and I'm really glad that they took a chance on me because at the time I was really an unproven commodity, and they definitely were like the first people to really like, oh, this is like a company that people really respect and look for, and they took a chance on me, and then they gave me multiple opportunities, and I had to, I mean, I think the time that I spent there was some of my most formative, like in my young career, in terms of like figuring out the stuff that I was good at, what I wasn't good at, what I could kind of excel at, like what I should focus on, and kind of finding myself. I still think it took a little bit longer to really figure out who exactly Royce Isaacs is, especially in ring and whatnot. But it was hugely impactful to my career, and I also just am a huge fan of Japanese culture, so getting that experience was really phenomenal for me.
Just to clarify as well, in case of anybody, so nobody gets confused, all the Japanese stuff in the back is not yours, it is your girlfriend's. I think you told me off here,
Yeah,
right?
except for the
Okay.
Bushido. The Bushido is my girlfriend gave to me. It's a gift from her.
Okay,
But all like the Hello Kitty stuff is actually, in case anyone was wondering how big of a Hello Kitty fan I am, I'm not. But I am a fan of being a good boyfriend, so my girlfriend has quite a bit of fun art all the way around
okay. Were you surprised when DDT kind of, well, I guess reached out to you and was like, we want to have you on our tour, and just like kind of just like plucked you out of obscurity? You're like, what,
behind me.
me of all people?
Well, I was sending in, I had like a resume and like matches and all kinds of stuff. Like, I was sending in a whole thing to, I mean, pretty much via any way possible to all the Japanese promotions that I could find. Most of them, I'm sure, were just going to some spam folder and being completely ignored, as they should be. And DC was the one that they reached back out, and originally they were like, no, we're not really interested, but thank you. And then I think someone got injured before they were doing this Grand Prix, the DNA Grand Prix. I think someone got injured, and they were like, hey, we actually are interested now. Like, these are the details. Would you like to come out here? And it was like, yeah, duh. So, definitely, I got like super lucky in terms of them kind of plucking me out of obscurity, but also it wasn't total luck in that I had been trying for it and I'd been reaching out to them. And like, it's one of those things where, yeah, you'll get really lucky, but sometimes you get really lucky because you put yourself in a position to get lucky. And so it ended up working out really well for me. But part of that was also because of my hard work in terms of putting myself out there, which I think a lot of people are afraid to take that step and put themselves out there.
And then, well, you wound up in New Japan, the biggest
Yeah.
company in all of Japan. So, yeah, when you got signed to New Japan, I mean, that must have been like, that finally made it in the big time.
Yeah, definitely getting to work with New Japan has been, I mean, to me, when I started getting really into wrestling as an adult, I watched it as a kid, but like when I started getting back into it and into it as a participant and as an older individual, I New Japan was like always like, oh wow, this is, I get why they called it like King of Sport. I get why it was regarded so highly. So to get to work with them over these last few years has been definitely like, it's been the best time of my career. It's been the most successful that I've been, and yeah, I love working with New Japan. They're top class for a reason.
And before we go on to Bloodsport, we do have a question from a Japanese fan who has a podcast in Japan called Pro Wrestler Things. Kuni Saito, the host of that podcast, wants to know, when are you coming to Japan next?
I can't say with certainty at the moment. There is something in the works for later this year that Hopefully I'm not. I can't really spill any beans on. We'll see. I always would rather under promise and over deliver. So I guess all I can say is I should be back this year. I don't know exactly when, and I can't really give a lot of details, but that is like the goal. I would like to be there as much as possible. Being there last year for the G1 tour was amazing. Like I feel like I learned a lot and had some amazing experiences I'll never forget, but you know, it's not all the way up to me in terms of when I'll go back. So hopefully before too long, and I appreciate the question, and hopefully it makes me happy when I hear people like that still curious, or I get like a tweet or someone hit me up on Instagram or something asking about when I'm coming back or asking me to come back. 'Cause I really, really do want to be in Japan coming up here. So we'll see.
I know he's a big fan of Team Filthy, so I think he wants to see not just you, but all the Team Filthy members come by
That's the
Japan.
Goal.
So hopefully this year. Hopefully this year.
Yep.
But Bloodsport, you return to Bloodsport, taking on Johnny Bloodsport, John Morrison, John Henneken, whatever name you want to call him. This is quite a stylistic clash, I think. Totally opposites. You two, yeah. If you're on this side, he's on this side in terms of styles. And yeah, what do you think about Mr. Bloodsport as a wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a big name, and obviously I have to respect his athletic ability. I think to a degree, this is like very much like a style versus substance kind of matchup, or like the if anyone's seen Never Back Down, the part where the capoeira guy is doing all these flips around and one right to the jaw. I think it's definitely like, you know, I have a very specific like smash and dash kind of style, and he's doing a lot of like plyos and flips and parkour and stuff like that. And I mean, to his credit, he's had success in Bloodsport so far. Like, he's done well in Bloodsport. He's just gotten you know, destroyed or something like that. But I do think you're gonna see the difference in terms of like an effective style versus someone who's maybe just trying to do something for styles points. I think that's when I'm gonna be able to really take advantage there, and that's when I'm really going to show I guess the gap in terms of ability, because I do think, you know, you can do all the flips you want, you can do all the athleticism you want, but if it doesn't get you closer to submitting or knocking me out, it's kind of just wasted movement and you're making yourself more tired. So I hope he comes with some cool tricks, and I hope he has something hot for me, because I do like the challenges, and I've always enjoyed fighting people who really bring it. Like, I really enjoyed my fights with Coughlin. I really enjoyed my fight with Tito. So I'm hungry for it too. And like, I hope this isn't just like him flipping around a bunch and getting destroyed. I think he's going to really bring something to the table. I just think I see weaknesses. I see openings, and I plan to exploit those. So.
Do you think he might be... So this will be his, I believe, his second time in Bloodsport. I know he won his first. Oh yes, yeah, his first. He won his first match, but fuck, I can't remember who his opponent was. But we're going up against you. Do you think that he might realize that I can't be as flashy as maybe I was the first time? I have to be a little more. I don't want to say the term serious, but I guess I'll have to use that term. I have to be more serious going up against Royce Isaacs.
Yeah, serious or reserved or whatever you want to call it. I do think to a degree he has to, but at the same time, if he comes out and he's not Johnny Bloodsport anymore, then he's also fighting my game. So I guess that's my interesting challenge to him, is it's like, how do you stay true to yourself? But also at the same time, you're going to have to, he is going to have to rein it in a bit. I think, you know, if he just thinks he's going to be doing handstands and flagpoles and all this stuff while I just stand there, like, no, I'm going to kick you in the face. So he really better be prepared. He really better be on his A game, and he better be focused.
And yeah, so I just looked it up. It was against Simon Gotch that he had the match with, and he beat him by TKO. That was actually the same Bloodsport where you took out, where you beat Bad Dude Tito, says here.
Yep.
And so, yeah, when it comes down, when that bell rings, where do you see your advantages are going to be against him? Is it going to be the striking? You think submissions? Yeah, where do you see your advantages against Johnny Bloodsport?
I think he obviously has a speed advantage on me. Like, I'm not delusional. However, I think when we go quick for quick, I do think it's a lot more manageable, as in he can maintain his speed and be surprising and get me some places. But if we're talking about just explosiveness for explosiveness, if we're talking about, you know, shooting a double leg and whatever, I can absolutely match him. If we're talking about throwing an overhand, I can absolutely match him. If we're talking about power, I think I'm definitely going to have more power. His striking might be more refined. I guess I'm a little less familiar with it. It's definitely going to be flashier. I don't know if it's going to be more effective, but I know in terms of like power, I think I can rock him. And I think in terms of, he was a college wrestler as well. So I don't want to just say like, oh, I'm going to blast double him all day and take him down. But I do think in terms of effective grappling, you know, I've been training for a bit in terms of, I've been rolling at highest on MMA. So like, I'm not worried. Whoever gets a takedown is fine. I'm sure once we get to the ground that I can reverse him, I can put him in precarious situations, and eventually I'll tire him out, take him to deep waters. And then whether it's a TKO or a submission, like I have absolute confidence that I can finish him in either facet. So I'm not super worried about how we get from point A to point B, because if I cover all my bases in terms of, I think we can get there. However, then it's just a matter of controlling, you know, his explosive athletic actions and slowly getting to that, that conclusion of me beating him.
And how is that? I don't know how long you've been doing MMA training, but you, like you said, you have a college wrestling experience, which I know that, you know, that training is excruciating. So, but how long have you been doing MMA training?
So I started at highest on at the end of last year, but I've been training a little bit on and off under Josh basically since the pandemic started. So like, I don't know. I guess only like a few months of really hard, consistent training, but there were some times during the pandemic where I was fairly good with it. You know, I'd be in there 3-4 days a week and whatnot. And so I think I have like a decent base, and my wrestling definitely helps me in terms of, like, I don't know. I don't want to talk myself up like, oh my God, I just like figured it out so quickly, because I'm 34 years old. But like, I do think that I roll with people that have a much higher experience level than myself, and I feel generally fairly comfortable. There's always someone in the room that's badder than you, especially when you're at a really good wrestling, a really good grappling academy, I should say. But when it comes to especially pro wrestlers, there's not too many people that I would be worried about spending time with on the mat.
Hey, would you say that Johnny Bloodsport is one of those people?
Yeah, Johnny Bloodsport is not someone that of course I'm respecting his ability, and I'm not acting like he can't bring anything to the table. He might submit me. I don't know. It's the game, and sometimes you get caught, but he's not someone that keeps me up at night worried about if he's going to pull a flying armbar on me or something like that. Like, he's a tough competitor. He's an athlete, and I respect him, but yeah, he's going to learn all about Royce Isaacs.
I also wanted to ask about, I don't know if you saw his reply or quote tweet when I initially put this out, that you're going to be on the show. He said, I guess you could say a little bit of trash talk. I don't know if you got, if you happen to see it by any chance.
I'm pretty sure I did. I don't remember exactly. Was that the one he said something about like magic or something stupid?
No, not about magic. I mean, I'm happy to read it to you as long as you don't get
please,
mad at
please
me for repeating
read
his words.
It out. No, I won't blame the messenger. What did he say?
Okay, he quote tweeted the announcement that you're gonna be on the show. He said, "How hard did at Royce Isaacs get hit in the head before he accepted this match? I need to know because I'm planning on smashing him twice that hard on March 30th at Bloodsport." And he has the sunglasses emoji thing. So I wanted to give you a chance to respond to his trash talk, because I think it's only fair if you respond to what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, hey, all props to him. Like, I appreciate him trying to build the match. I'm not, like, really going to take that super personally because, you know, he's going to have to see. Like, in terms of Bloodsport, I get it. He's the big name. Everyone knows who Morrison is. Everyone knows who Johnny, insert gimmick name, is. He's earned that right. Like, he's had a legendary career in terms of you know, Tough Enough, WWE, Lucha Underground, Impact, you know, Bloodsport, now being here. But the fact is, he is like, I've competed in Bloodsport more often. I am like, he's in my territory. He's in my house. So, hey, talk all the shit you want. March 30th, we're going to be in the Bloodsport arena, and it's just going to be me and him. And he can say how bad he's going to smash me, and he's going to, oh, he must have brain damage. And, you know, but like the fact of the matter is, when he's on bottom and I'm raining down elbows, he's going to have a real conversation with himself. He's going to have to go, do I have what it takes in me to reverse this position, to get myself out of this position? To, am I going to leave my arm out there? Am I going to just kind of, you know, not going to give up, but, you know, leave it out there a little too long and let him take it? Am I going to just turtle up and let him keep pounding on me? And I guess just kind of accept that I get TKO'd. Like, you can say whatever you want before the match, but there are going to be moments during that match where he's going to have to ask himself if he has what it takes, if he has enough. You know, all the Twitter followers liking and retweeting, and, oh yeah, Johnny, you got him. None of them are going to matter. They could be all in the, they could, it could be at the Ukrainian Cultural Center, every single person in there is a Johnny Morrison fan. All the, come on, Johnny, come on, Johnny. None of that's going to be me mattering, because when I'm just raining down blows on your skull, and that's the only thing you can hear, you can't hear any of the cheers or the boos or the jeers or any of that, you're going to have to be honest with yourself, and you're going to have to ask if you really want it and if you're really ready for what Royce Isaacs is bringing. And I don't think he is.
Is the Bloodsport environment kind of, would you say it's one of your favorite atmospheres to wrestle in, or is there another particular type of atmosphere? Because you wrestled in no crowds, you wrestled with crowds, you wrestled with crowds that just clap, and you wrestled, yeah, all types of crowds. Where would you say that the Bloodsport atmosphere ranks?
I like Bloodsport a lot because I think it's a good mixture of fans who want like crazy violent, like limb attacks and knockouts and all this gnarly stuff. And then fans who are really connoisseurs of the sport and care about like the intricacies of the grappling and the technique. So I really like the Bloodsport environment a lot. I'd have it up there.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, as well, very happy to hear that Japan also allowing people to cheer. So, you know, hopefully when you get back, you can actually go into a crowd that will actually be able to cheer for you and not just do all that. Or the whatever the things that they had.
I appreciated all the clapping. I appreciated how loud the fans got for me and Filthy Tom over there. But yeah, it will be nice to actually have fans that can, without breaking any rules, like you would know that you really did something good over there during the tour when you got someone to audibly, oh, and like you're like, oh, got you to break the rules. That means you really liked what I did. But yep. It'll be nice to have them actually be able to do it.
I think when I forgot who Filthy wrestled on the, when I think it was at the Osaka show. I think that's when it was at the Osaka show where they were kind of were breaking the rules there. I think it was, I'm trying to remember. I think, yeah. Cause Osaka usually breaks the rules when it comes to,
yeah,
they were always cheering even though they were told not to. So I think that was like the one time you guys were able to get away with it get a real true reaction. Actually curious to know as well, are you wrestling any other, shows on at WrestleMania week at that time?
Yeah, so I also have the very next day Prestige is wrestling at the Globe Theater. They have their show, and it's me, Jarrell, Filthy Tom, and a six man against the Time Splitter. So Alex Shelley and Kushida, and Ultimo Dragon is their third. So it'll be a big six man tag for Prestige. I think it's like the main event of the show at the Globe, so that should be sick. I'm super super pumped for that. And then on that Sunday I have Mitzvah Mania. It's a all Jewish wrestler show, and it's me and Jack Cartwheel, so that should be a sick one as well.
Okay. Are all the wrestlers Jewish on that as well?
Yeah, everyone except for Billy Starks is on it. She's the champion of the promotion, so she's allowed to. Okay. Yeah, and she still has time to convert. You know, she has a few weeks.
I was going to say, Cartwheel. I don't know. That doesn't sound, where is that? Is that Germanic? Is that Austrian? I'm trying to think where that, Sephardic maybe. Maybe it's one of those weird Sephardic names, Cartwheel.
I don't remember. I think Jack's real name is actually not Cartwheel. I'm sorry to break the break the fourth wall there, but
oh no,
I'm pretty sure Cartwheel is not his traditional Jewish name.
Cartwheel Stein or Cartwheelberg.
Cartwheel Stein. Yeah, Cartwheel Stein.
So any other shows that you're that you can plug for that week as well?
There's one other one, but the details aren't really out on it, so I don't think I can talk about it. But I'll have four shows Mania week, which is pretty good. It's some of these people come into town and do like 13 shows, and I'm like, that's a little bit much for me. But I think they're all good matches. They're all big shows, so like, I would rather do quality over quantity. And it's enough of quantity that I'm happy, so I'm good.
Oh, when a WrestleMania weekend happened here in what was it? I think it was 2019. You know who? Okay, so when they would have wrestlers at, you knew that they'd go to the other part of New Jersey or another part when they were at the beginning of the show because they'd be advertised for both shows when one would be going on at like 2 o'clock and the other one's going at 5 o'clock. And then I think it was, I'm trying to remember who was who did that. But yeah, that was that's a very common occurrence where someone's at the beginning of a show and then they have to make it to the main event at another show. So I don't know how they do it. 13 shows in a 3 day, 4 day span. Good on them. Good on them. But the cool thing about Bloodsport is that it's kind of like the opening curtain to WrestleMania weekend. It's always the earliest. I think it's the first one for this one, or at least it traditionally has been. So I like how it sets the tone for the rest of the weekend. I'm actually curious to know as well, any other matches that you are going to be paying attention to at Bloodsport 9?
I'm very intrigued by Bad Dude Tito and Jeff Cobb. I think that's going to be another one that'll be like a slobber knocker, like kind of like a, like that's Tito's kind of chance that I, like me with Johnny is a big chance for me because that's someone with a bigger name that's more well-known. And I think same thing for Tito, that's, you know, Cobb is obviously more established and well-known. And that's a good chance for him to kind of show what he's got. And I think he'll, like, Tito tends to really excel in those big opportunities. So I'm excited for him. He's someone that I've been a little bit of a rival with, but I would say also I just have a deep respect for him. So I'm also glad to see him get big opportunities like that he deserves.
When I first saw him, and then when he first started out as a pro wrestler and then where he is now, it's like it's two different people almost. So good on him, you know, for where he's first started to like getting to where he is now. So all the props to Bad Dude Tito. Before you go, I just want to give you an opportunity for anything that you want to plug, shows, sponsors, IG, Twitch, whatever you got. The floor is yours.
At Royce Isaacs on Instagram, the Mile High Samurai on Twitter, and Pro Wrestling Tees /Royce Isaacs if you want to check out a shirt. Other than that, just check out my shows if you want to come see me. I have stuff coming up for let's see. I guess most of it's in LA with the Mania Week and whatever coming up. But this weekend I'm in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri. This weekend, the following weekend I'll be in Las Vegas, and then all the Mania stuff. And then I'll be like the first week in April, I'll be San Fran, Denver, and then back in Burbank for a show. So like I'm all over the place. Come follow me on social media and check out my shows if you're interested. And if not, then I don't know why you're still listening to this interview.
Had a question. Mile High Samurai, where does that come from?
I think it's partly just because I've always been like super into Japanese culture and samurai culture, like ever since I was a kid, like kinds of media I was consuming, the kind of books I was reading. Musashi by I.G. Yoshikawa is like probably one of my favorite books of all time, if not my favorite book of all time. And so I've always kind of like respected and had love for that. And then just Mile High from the Mile High City, I from Denver originally. And so it kind of just came on like as a catchy nickname, and I really liked it. And so I've just been running with it ever since.
Okay, I was wondering if New Japan, because New Japan gives all their wrestlers nicknames. I was wondering if they gave that to you, if you came up with it yourself.
I already had that actually before New Japan, I want to say, but I could be wrong. I don't remember
Oh,
who came up with it.
okay. Last thing is, if you have any last statement or comment you'd like to say about your opponent, Johnny Bloodsport, floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, hey, Johnny, if you're listening, hey buddy. I hope that he's not too distracted by all his like he's got his like celebrity boxing coming up. He's in Australia right now. Like, I hope you're focused on me because if you're not, if there's any that little bit of you that's just too distracted because you got so much else going on, I'm gonna put you to sleep, buddy. So I hope you bring your best because that's what I want. The best Johnny Bloodsport means the best Royce Isaacs will be there, which means the most fans will recognize this and it'll be the biggest showcase for me. So I hope you're really focused and I hope you're really ready because I for sure will be.
And you can check out Johnny Bloodsport versus Royce Isaacs, March 30th at the, well, again, sold out. So if you go, if you have tickets, enjoy it at the Ukrainian Cultural Center. But if you don't have tickets, like me, you can watch it on Fight TV Plus. And that'll be part of also, you could get it a part of that whole package, I think, right? The GCW
Yeah.
shows, I believe. Yeah, Bloodsport's always a great show. I don't think there's, I can't ever say there's ever been a bad Bloodsport. This one's going to be no different. Yeah, I'm looking forward to your match, man. It's definitely going to be an exciting one. And, I think this is one of those matches where, nope, if you turn away, you're going to miss the finish. So I definitely recommend that, you put the phone down or, just whatever, put the game gear down. Not game gear, whatever's, I don't know.
Put the game gear down. If
Game,
you
put the
still
game
have your
gear.
game gear, put that shit down because
I have
holy
no
crap.
idea how
Wow.
he does that game gear.
Sega Game
Well,
Gear, that's a hell. Hey, Sega Game Gear was really underrated. So I actually really appreciate that. It's a
make sure
great,
you turn off the
that's a great handheld.
Jaguar or your the 3D 3D
What was the
boy,
Nokia
whatever.
one? What was the Nokia one that like went made them go broke? Like on
Yes,
N-Gage.
oh,
The
the
Nokia N-Gage. Put your
yes.
Nokia N-Gage down.
I don't know why that came. I was trying to think of the Wii U, the whatever, the new one, the Wii U console. Put that down. And yeah, definitely check out this match because it's gonna be great. And yeah, again, Royce, best of luck, and hopefully get to see you in Japan this year. And I'm wishing the best of luck that between with you, Jor-El, Team Filthy, and all that stuff.
Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate it.